I want to talk about something. That I call spiritual strength. As opposed to spiritual weakness or no spirituality at all. And I think you can all imagine stories that would describe for you what it means to be spiritually strong. And some of those stories may be right. Some of them not. I guess you could try to look at your own spiritual lives and try to understand how much vigor and power, you might say, they have. How engaged you are, how dynamic you are, how fulfilled you are, how effective you feel you are in the world. So, you can let that answer reside inside you. Let me just talk about the general idea. Strength comes through a kind of exercise. It doesn't just happen, it's built. I mean, you may be one of those lucky people who comes into the world fully muscled, if you will, and ready to handle anything that comes. But most of us have to arrive at, through some kind of discipline and practice, something we call strength or capacity. So, what would be the fundamental building block of spiritual strength? Well, I'm going to say, for some people it may be prayer. It may be intellectual engagement, emotional engagement, but I will basically say the fundamental building block for me has always been the meditative practice, sitting still, being still. You know, Rudy told me if I wanted to have a spiritual life, I had to sit every day for the rest of my life. And he was talking 20 or 30 minutes a day. And I committed to that on the spot. I don't know why, but I did. And as I've said proudly over the course of many meditation talks, I sat literally every day for 44 years and did not miss a session for myself. In the beginning, it was hard, and I was resistant, and I've had to work at making it through 20 minutes. After a while, you almost had to tear me away. Because the sitting, the conquering, if you will, of my need to be engaged and in motion and involved, the strength that came from stillness was unexpected. Who knew that stillness had power? Who knew that stillness felt so good? That it was a welcoming invitation to an inner connectivity that I would call inner strength. We can call it spiritual strength, but there's something within us that lifts us up, that engages, that expresses itself, that emboldens itself, and that gives itself over into the world of manifested life. This inner power, if you will, or empowerment that comes from within is so amazing that when I would sit I only wanted to be in that space. So when I realized I have to get up and take the kids to school, or I had to go to work, or I had to whatever it was like, really? I could have just sat there, because it was so good in its own quiet nature. But the thing that Rudy taught, which I loved, and which remains so dynamically important to me, is that you cannot leave it in that still spot inside you. That strength that you begin to feel inside has to rise up and travel with you into the day. When you stand up and start to do the things you have to do, it need not go away and need not disappear or retreat into that inner space. It can flow outward and be with you. Those who live monastic lives, those who find a cave in the Himalayas, those who live alone by themselves, can develop a very strong taste for spiritual strength. And there may be something to be said for just emanating strength into the universe. There are a lot of old teachings that seem to sort of feel that's a valuable lifestyle. I was not born into that practice. You know, I would sit with people in India and I would watch these guys just literally sitting there waiting for someone to feed them. They didn't seem to care if anybody did or didn't, but if they did, they would eat. And they would just sit. And in some ways, people bowed down to them because they were so still and probably filled with this dynamic strength. But it didn't move into the world very much. Rudy's engagement of life really appealed to me. Take what this inner capacity gives you and manifest it in every possible way you can find. In work, in relationship, in love, in social working and social giving. How do you take your spiritual strength and let it get stronger and more effective and more available to you and then to everyone around you? The nature of this particular practice and this particular class is that you begin to deeply engage your power. Life will give you obstacles. Guaranteed. Some of the obstacles you may face may test every ounce of the strength that you have. Could be personal interactions, it could be professional, it could be just physical endurance. We'll be tested by what life throws you. Good days and bad days, easy days, hard days. Stuff comes at you. You may actually get a life that is karmically obstructed. And all you can do is work every day to find your strength to endure, or in the best sense, prevail. I know people who karmically have everything thrown against them. And I watch their daily struggle, and I just find, from my perspective, so much awe for who they are and how they get through the next minute. Every day, I just go, I don't even know that they know it, but I just bow down to people who bring the game every day, who stand up to the equation, who say, I'm here, who do not give up, who do not find a way to bury themselves in watching television or whatever your distraction is. I find people who keep arriving at this very moment in a place of deep aliveness and deep commitment. And I really honor that. I don't think I am the only one who honors it. I believe the forces of the universe filter through us, and that the degree to which we open and allow them to function in our being in order to allow us to become fully formed vessels for something greater is in a way the measure of a man or a woman. How much love do we bring into the world? How much giving? How much help? How much invitation do we offer life? And you really have to look around you and just ask that for yourself. What is your day-to-day relationship with the world? Because in a way, it is an imprint of, an image of, who you are inside. If you're walking around thinking you're a wonderful person and a spiritually evolved person, and you don't give 1 ounce of love to somebody on the street or in the parking lot or in your house, if you don't give the love, maybe it's not real. Maybe it's an illusion that you have for yourself. If you can't share it, if it's all about you, then there may be a question mark in its validity. Your job, if you care to embrace it, is to be that through which the vastness of cosmic joy, love, beauty, connectivity can flow. And it takes real work to pull that off. Work involves strength. Do you have the strength to show up? Do you have the strength to become a partner with life itself? To actually service the world rather than just take from the world or just observe the world or just sit and ignore the world? What's the role you want to play? Who are you? What is your capacity? Most people are born with a kind of imprint, and that's an imprint that can be, in a sense, exercised and expanded. It's interesting to watch people exercising their power because you don't see it a lot. You know, you can just go to the gym. Really interesting. Just the people that are in the gym automatically are like, at least they've come to the place of building up energy and dynamic strength. Some you can see are barely walking on the treadmill. Some are running full out. Some are lifting very gentle weights, and some are really pulling. But 98% of the people on the street aren't doing any of that. They're just getting by, getting through the day. And getting through the day is fine. No one's gonna call you out on that, probably. Your body may at some point. Your body may say, you know, you haven't served me at all. You have done all the worst things possible to this temple that you are in. You haven't scrubbed the walls, you haven't cleaned, you haven't flushed the toilet, you haven't done anything. And I mean, there are so many people who don't take care of the temple of their being. And that's just part of it. The potential for opening, the potential for opening to something vast that pours into this temple, the capacity to receive the wisdom, light, love, and beauty of being isn't there. I mean, I have this image of somebody sitting in the temple on their cell phone, and God's trying to pour through, or the universe is trying to give you and suggest and open the doors of possibility, and you know, and that's becoming more and more common at this point. We're getting more and more lost in this strange little, whatever this is, this manifestation of our brain, just staring at it, going, and what's happening is we're creating a very real toxicity in our lives, a toxicity that is internal. Because we're not being cleansed, we're not being worked, we're not taking charge, we're not being responsible for the cleaning of the temple, the care of it. And we have this growing toxicity in the environment around us, which some of us are willing to look at, some of us don't want to look at. It's getting noisier, so it will become harder and harder to ignore. It's both political, it's cultural, and it's atmospheric. There is a lot of stuff happening now, and it's kind of closing in on us. And it will do that. And the degree to which you let it into yourself and then don't do anything to rid yourself of the toxicities and the poisons will basically destroy you. 30 minutes a day of just sitting, taking a breath, opening yourself up, will allow you to begin to clear the atmosphere, to cleanse the dynamic of your life, to be able to feel and see what is happening. Now, you may not like what you see. And this really deep practice will start to allow you to get past the judgment of it. Just go, well, this is what it is. It's kind of truth time, truth telling. What am I? Who am I? Look at the mess I've created. Look at the world I'm living in. Look at the temple that I inhabit. What's its condition? What's your job here? Do you have a job? Do you just wait for the walls to crumble? You have to think about that. What do you want in this lifetime right now? Well, there's extraordinary opportunities in developing spiritual strength to tell yourself, I have to do what Rudy basically said, make your bed every morning. He said, your spiritual life starts with making your bed in the morning. That's really important. How many people skip that step? How many people skip the step of sitting and meditating? How many people get through the whole day and never take a single conscious breath or even realize that they're really here? How many people spend their entire day with whatever, CNN News, Fox News, Facebook, whatever it is? How many, you can answer this for yourself. How many conscious breaths do you get? How much time do you get with this ability to just go and clean the lens, look around you with clarity? I talk endlessly about the journey inward. Our inward life is an oceanic experience. Most of us are finding if we look outside, our ocean is getting polluted. If you look inside, the ocean's getting polluted too. You've got to go deep. You've got to go deep in order to start to find that restorative, simple stillness that can ultimately repair itself. Repairing itself is an interesting thing. What is the ultimate polluter in the world? People. The world knows that. The world knows that it cannot survive with people unless they become responsible. Is that going to happen? We'll see. Even within yourself, in that stillness, is a pool of pollution. The only one who can work with your particular pool of pollution is you. Nobody else. You can come here to class and I will tell you, I sit with you. Here's what I do when I sit with you. I open so deeply to my love for who you are. And I am directed by something which I cannot explain, but it absolutely shows me how to love you. And it shows me how to enter into you, into the place that is resisting, closed, frightened, absorbed in something else, distracted. It shows me how to go to these places and connect and help to cleanse that space. And so every time you come here, it's a little bit like taking your car into the shop. They can fix the tires, they can change the oil, they can do these things, but who is taking care of the car? How are you driving the car? Do you get the car washed? What's your relationship to this body that you have? I would venture to say most of you take better care of your cars than your bodies, or your psyches, or your souls. Nobody else is going to do it for you. It's up to you. And I'm trying to speak with a certain amount of concern, because I think things are only going to get more difficult. That the world around us is going to become more disruptive. That the world that we inhabit is going to be less inviting. So where is the invitation in life that makes us feel good to be here? Well, it's right here. I will say this to you as often as you need to hear it. If you can go into your heart chakra, it takes you in. It enters in through the portal of stillness. You step inside your being, and it is welcoming, and it is embracing, and it is loving. And it really is massive. And with all the flotsam and jetsam on the surface, it just cleans the way for you and takes you in. The love in your heart is very sustaining. But there is a deeper version of this, and it's called your navel chakra. Your navel chakra has the same welcoming, the same love, the same stillness, the same beauty, except it has one other thing which I've talked about before, which I call power or empowerment. This is where you become an effective being, effective in the outer and the inner. If you can engage this navel chakra, you become part of the building block of the manifested world. You can affect life. You can affect the way you touch people, the way you love people, the way you help, the way you clean, the way you wash, the way you do whatever you do in life. You can also become highly destructive. You can become unconsciously powerful and do great damage in the world. That's kind of your choice. But if you've opened to a spiritual life and you develop spiritual strength, you will have conscious activity filled with love and compassion for everyone who lives, including yourself. And then you will have the power to affect how these things operate in the world, for better or for worse. You will have that power. You do have that power. If you engage that power, you can become a very effective human being. If you don't engage that power, then you watch television all day. Or whatever it is, walk around complaining. You know, victimized by the world. Your choice. But I am saying the world at this moment in time is getting more and more demanding. And if you do not have and have not evolved the skill set to operate spiritually, physically, dynamically in the world and in yourself, you will be crushed by the weight of disappointment, disturbance, and toxicity that is beginning to erupt all around us. So this is a call to action. What kind of action? Well, yeah, you can just sit and meditate all day. You can go into a cave. You can move to Canada. You can move to the Himalayas. You know, find a place that's still and quiet and away from everything, and you can do that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with doing that. But the practice I've been involved in over the course of 50 or some years is manifesting that Rudy-like need to surrender to the demand of life. You surrender, let go of you and your resistance and your fear and your hesitation, and you just find a way to surrender to the what is. I've been looking at the unfolding of the political world around us and the ugliness of so much of what's being seen, and feeling so powerless in it, And the feeling I have is, well, what I can do is teach, sit here, love my family, love my wife, love the people around me. I can try to do all of these things, but something in me is saying there's more to do. And I haven't been able to figure out what to do. And then this last couple of weeks, month or so, I find myself very disturbed by much of what I see on the news, but one thing stood out, which was that they were taking children away from their parents who are trying, immigrants who are trying to cross into America. It's now becoming a bit more eruptive, but for about 3 weeks, nobody was reporting anything about it in the paper. And I got really upset, emotionally upset at the wrongness of this, of living in a world or a country or a culture that would allow that and not talk about it, not reference it, because there's so much going on. And I said, I really am upset by this. And something said to me, along with friends, so not just my own inner voice, do something. I said, I don't know what to do. And the voice basically said, do anything you can do. Do what you can do. So I have been working, trying to come up with it. And one of the things I thought is, just talk about it. Share it. I don't have an answer. So if any of you out here have an answer of how one can help with these 1,500 children who are missing, just can't find their parents, the children who have been taken away from their families in a culture now that is so antagonistic to other cultures and human suffering. If you can have anything you want to do or think you can do and want to help me or help the world, I'm just taking one example here, guys. Help me. Let's figure out something to do. Yes, I can sit and meditate, that's fine. But let me just say, there's something to be done in the world. I'm picking one thing, you can pick your thing. I don't care what it is, or don't pick anything. But my feeling is we have the power of action, the power of right thinking, and the power of actually affecting some kind of minuscule change that may become bigger. There are so many issues, every one of you knows about them. Find something and then just see, what can I do? And ask the question in your mind, you know, gun control, global warming. I mean, one can go on and on with all of this. And I know people who hear spiritual talks do not want to hear what I'm talking about. Spiritual talks is, oh, I'm so free of all of that. I'm so transcendent of all of those issues. Yeah, you can be. You can live in that transcendent space and not be touched by the world. And in a certain sense, if you go really deeply inside, you will be untouched. Because the ocean absorbs all this stuff in the end. And the ocean of being will cleanse the world ultimately. And I have no question or no doubt about that. But in the time frame that we're in, this tiny little time frame, in which I happen to have grandchildren and children and people I love deeply, my feeling is you have to engage in some way, and not even knowing how. It's not like having a plan, it's having no plan. What do I do? What do we all do? So I throw that out to you. You can come back to me with ideas. I will keep working my side of the equation. And again, I don't care what you take on, if anything, but put it in your mind that you have the strength and the power and the empowerment to do more than you probably are doing. And it can be anything from just learning how to be a better person and make your bed in the morning, and it can be to helping your neighbor, helping the person down the street. It can be anything. But you have the capacity, and we all do, and we can share with each other the need, because if you haven't yet seen the need, you will. So this is a very important time, and spiritual strength is the thing that will sustain you and drive you and help carry you through the what may become a very difficult environment for us to live in. And we can all do it holding hands, or we can all do it on our own, or we can all just watch television. So this is not a talk that I normally would give, and if you're all squirming here and thinking, you know, we're in the wrong meditation class, there are many other meditation classes, and I, you know, it's fine with me if you find the one that just makes you feel good. That's fine. This will make you feel good. It will also make you feel strong. It will also make you feel connected. It will make you feel available, active, that you're not just sitting here for your own benefit, but you're sitting here for the benefit of your true self, which is all around you. That's what this is about, serving yourself in every form. So, develop your spiritual strength. Find it, practice it, work it out, sit every day. At some point, this awakening, this realization, this enlightenment may occur, but it will only make you more committed to the larger issues, because you will feel that you are not just this one person in the world, you are the world. You are all there is, always have been. There is no demarcation between you and it. That's your mind. There's only oneness. There's only one thing happening here. And it goes on way beyond the world. The world is a little speck in something vast, but it's your speck. You're in it. Love it or not, leave it. You know, this is it. It's what you got. And it's only here for a short time. You're only here for a short time. Use it. Use it well. Be productive. Find your power. Find your strength. Embrace it. Develop it. And live a really dynamic life. Because you'll leave this world feeling fulfilled, complete, and grateful to have been here. That's the ride. Get strong. Any questions?
You've talked many times, I think, about that we're sitting practice, letting go. That's kind of the weights that we're lifting, of letting go. How does that relate to spiritual strength?
It's a good question. We practice either surrender or letting go, which means to let go of, and then you have to add what are you letting go of? And mostly it's attachment to your mind, your thoughts, your ideas, your fears, your doubts, letting go of all of the stuff that is your resistance to life, your resistance to doing. What do you let go of? You let go of the stuff in the world that obstructs you, really, and frees you to be who you truly are. And you can't imagine how much there is to let go of. There is so much stuff that defines us against and from and in opposition to life and the world. And that stuff keeps us in a very, very concentrated, discomforted state in most cases. Sometimes not. Sometimes very joyous and happy and fulfilled. But ultimately, you start to feel the containment of your own being. And then it's really interesting, because I'm at a point where I had a very fulfilling life, and all the elements of fulfillment were taken away. Not taken away, but they're gone. I'm retired. You know, I'm not a Hollywood filmmaker. I'm a grandpa. I'm not even, even my grandkids will, you know, they don't say I'm not a grandpa, but that's, your roles, your defining roles will keep falling away. And this surrender means let it go. Let it go. As it falls away, let it go. Even while you're in the midst of it, let it go. So you're not being defined, checked by, held by, reinforced by these ideas of who and what you are. Because you're none of that. You're none of it. You are something so free, so vast, so big, so beyond anything you can imagine. And your mind and your body kind of hold you in place. Relax, open, take a breath, ask for help to surrender, and let it all fall away. And then discover who you are. And then discover that what that are-ness, what that beingness wants to be. What does it want to be? It will want to use your body, it will want to use your mind, and it will try to find a way to keep you in a dance in time and space that is vibrant and important to it, to that. I am that. This that-ness is what we are. Not I am me, I am this, I am that. It allows you to surrender to that, to thy will be done. The I and the thou. Surrender is letting go of you so you can become one with, serve thou, that which you truly are. So this word surrender is a word that, and the word letting go is something I've dealt with my entire life, and it has always been, from the beginning, somewhat confusing. What am I letting go of? What am I surrendering? I'm telling you, it's a dance that we do until you get to a point where you realize everything. Everything. Surrender everything. Not just the stuff you want to surrender, everything. And in the end, it will free you from the you that even asked the question. That help a little bit? Okay.
Is it pretty vital then to have a teacher for meditation? Because, you know, you hear about meditation thrown around now for like life hacking purposes. You're 20 minutes and you're going to be more productive and all that. But as you said, when you move into it, you have these amazing, incredible awarenesses way beyond your identity. And without proper guidance, you can kind of go a little crazy.
I agree with you. I had to have a teacher, you know, but my teacher only was around for 7 years of my practice. And then he became my teacher from within. He's still a huge part of my life. You know, Bo and I were here starting out with Rudy at the same time. We both still feel Rudy's presence, but it's not limited to Rudy in a way. It's kind of, for me, lifting off of the name, and there's just this inner guidance system that really works. Rudy was a doorway to that, and he really helped shape the direction for me. I think it's very helpful to have a teacher. But what's really important and what's really helpful is to have a need and to find that need to just find yourself. The ultimate guiding factor is deep within. And if you can find your way to that by yourself, that's great. But it will ultimately take care of you. But this human spiritual ride is really, really the ultimate of the human journey. To be on a journey without having ever discovered this core component is to have missed the point entirely. And people, most people, miss the point. I went to a movie last night called First Reformed, which is a Paul Schrader film, and it's not gonna ever have a big audience, but it talks about almost all the stuff we're talking about, and ultimately gets a little melodramatic, but it is powerful film. And when it was over, I'd say most of the people started laughing, saying that was the worst, the longest 90 minutes or whatever time that I've ever spent. I could tell they could not find their way in to this space. It was alien to them. It was this, distract me, do not make me look at this stuff. Because it's about a guy having a crisis of faith, a guy trying to find out how do I pray, a guy trying to deal with the world around us. And it was so beautiful, and I could feel there were people in the audience who couldn't get up at the end, and there were people who couldn't wait to get out. The most of them couldn't wait to get out. And I really understand that we, to begin this process, have to figure out where do I go. You have to know I have to sit, and then there are a million teachers out there now. When I was starting out, there were 3 people in New York that I knew of that taught meditation. And now there's, everywhere you look, what's the right one? Karma. Karma will guide you to all these different people. And the truth as you enter it will tell you, nope, don't go there. That's not right. That's not how it works. But I'm telling you, it's a hard road. It's a hard road because there's no one way. There is only the way of, in your case, Todd. That's the way. The way of Jackie, the way of Bo. Everyone has the way. It's your way. And it will really reveal itself to be that. You are totally responsible. And you have the capacity to get to the place you're trying to get to. Because you're really there. It's really, stuff falls away, and then you go, oh, that's realization. Oh, all this time to get there, and I've always been there. I've never been anywhere but there. And when that falls away, there you are, done. It's finished. I mean, it's not finished because there it keeps happening, but it's not the journey to it. It's not trying to find it and going, what's wrong with me? It's going, oh, I am that. And it's a remarkable thing. And if you have a teacher to go, yes, that helps. But if you don't have a teacher to go, yes, or look this way or look that way, then you have to do it. And we're all built to do it. Every one of us has this thing, this guidance system inside, Every one of us has the blueprint, and we just have to find it, build it, and become it. And if you don't, you know, some teachings say you get multiple lifetimes to do it, maybe billions. Or you just do it now, because in the end you realize multiple lifetimes is only one lifetime. It's only one, it's only this. Whatever that means, I don't even know what it means. But I just know this is all there is, and we have to find our way in it and through it. And having a teacher has helped me. Being a teacher helps me. You know, I tell this to guys every single week. I say, I don't know why I keep doing this, because I got nothing new to say, and yet it keeps coming up. You know, I think I've mentioned this. Eckhart Tolle and I had a conversation once, and we both asked exactly, why do we keep doing this? And the answer was, it wants to be spoken or presented. It wants to be. So each of us here who's a student of this is also, in a way, a teacher of this. Speak your truth, speak your journey, speak to the world around you, live your journey so people can look at it and see what it looks like and tastes like and feels like. Be the exposition for other people so they can read the book of you and say, I like that book. I'd like to learn how to live like that. That's what we do. And if you're not doing it, why? Where's the failure? What's telling you you're not worthy, or you can't do it, or it's too hard, or it's not there, or I can't meditate every day, or I can't do this? What is the voice that's doing that? That's the voice that needs to be surrendered. You sit quietly long enough, it will fall away. Of course, it'll come back 2 minutes later, and you have to do it again. And, you know, this exercise is really important, the practice. Also physical exercise, really important. Get out there. Walk, you know, that's my thing. I just walk and walk. But that walking is restorative. It's clarifying every day. Do whatever you need to do to bring yourself back into the world and into life, and not into your brain, into your telephone, onto your computer screen. Be in this larger world. And that will include your phone and your computer screen, but they'll be seen in the larger perspective of life, which is vast. They won't consume it and take over.
Just on a practical note, because you mentioned it, my oldest and best friend is the leading immigrants' rights lawyer for the ACLU. He's been on TV. He's now on all the shows dealing with it.
This is what I wanted to hear. Okay.
And
can we talk about that? Thank you. That's exactly. A number of documentary filmmakers are suddenly coming into my life. I mean, I don't want to make a documentary film particularly, but I don't know what to do, but I want to start doing it.
Well,
so this is
even have a documentary being made about him, but I'll talk to you about it. And I can talk to him about it.
That's great. That's great. I mean, for all I know, there's 50 million people out there already doing this, which makes me really happy. You know, what I couldn't stand was nobody was talking about it.
He says the most shocking thing that he's seen in 25 years. He's been in front of the Supreme Court like 4 times, and this is the worst thing he's ever encountered. The front lines of his immigrants' rights.
Yeah, I mean, I can only tell you, very little embroils me. This embroiled me in a way that I've not experienced. I mean, there's so much does now. I mean, you know, you watch the news, and I pay attention. I'm not completely oblivious to the world. I don't live in a place where, you know, I'm in touch with it. I try to absorb it. I try to work with it. But now it's telling me, do the work. Be of help.
Well, connecting to letting go. He is an interesting character. He's not someone I would describe as a spiritual person at all. In fact, you know, for 40 years, and we wake up, I get a text every morning about the basketball playoffs. And in fact, we were texting about the Cleveland and Golden State series.
Yeah.
And I had the TV on. It was All In with Chris Matthews on MSNBC. And he's like, coming up next, the immigrant, this terrible thing that's happening. I'm on, and I texted him. I said, oh my God, your story about, he goes, oh yeah, I'm on it. Mm-hmm. Commercial went, and there he was on TV while he's texting me about basketball.
Wow.
So I was like, he takes no, you know, credit. He just drops it all. And on TV, he's incredibly passionate, engaged. Off, away from this, you would never know he's involved at the front line.
Well, I can only say, I put it out there to see what would come back. This is lovely. Other things come from other places. I love the idea of not knowing what to do, but starting out to find out. Just love that idea. Whatever it may be, whatever the cause, and however little you need to do, or however much you need to do, you'll find out. And also, surrender means being available and willing to do what wants to be done. It's not about you. It's about us. And that's really important right now. The us is really important. So, think about it. Anybody else? I know it's a long class.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you all very much.